Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is D&K Bible Break, and we're live on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say good evening, and we're glad to be with you one more time in the land of the living, and also to be serving the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We just want to say thank you for joining us on another Monday night for D&K Bible Break. Hopefully you had a blessed weekend, and your Monday was off to a great start of the week. I am your host, Derek, and my co-host, Miss Kay. And again, we just want to say good evening. You there, Kay?
Good evening. Happy Monday.
Okay. And we want to first give honor to the Lord, the head of our life, and for waking us up and putting us in our right frame of mind, activities of our limbs, and giving us the opportunity to share his word one more time. Also want to send a special shout out to all of my sponsors, Pepsi, Pizza Hut, Royal Caribbean, Bentwood Publishing, Outback, and Finish Line. I just want to say thank you to all of them for allowing us to come on the air and do what we love to do and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. With that being said, we're not going to hold long. We're going to jump right into it. We got a good topic. What's the topic again?
Love thy neighbor, they, them, and us.
Love thy neighbor, they, them, and us. This is going to be a good one. So with that being said, I'm going to open this up with prayer, and I'm going to turn it over to Kay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you just be with us on today, Father God. Father God, we ask that you just touch us in a certain way, Father God. If anything is in us that's not like you, we ask you to cleanse it from us right now, Father God. For any sin that we may have committed, knowing and unknowing, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father God, that we may be able to rightly divide your word the way you would have it be done, Father God. Give that listener to ear, not to only hear it, but to be doers of it. And Father God, restore both of us as we begin to share your word with the people, Father God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to turn it over to Sister Kay. It's on you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good evening, everybody. I hope you get your pens out tonight. I'm going to have a few scriptures for you. So tonight we're going to be talking about love thy neighbor, they, them, and us. So I'm going to break down the they, the them, and the us. So we all can agree that everybody deserves to be treated like a human being. And the Bible tells us that God created man in his own image. So would you agree that everyone needs to be treated as your neighbor? Would you agree with that, husband? You consider everybody your neighbor?
We don't go in a touchy situation because the Bible says it. I agree, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I always practice it.
All right. Thank you for being honest. Now, we may not agree or like the lifestyle or belief systems that other people use, but as children of God, you know, Jesus does command us to love our neighbor as ourselves. I'm going to give you the first scripture, Mark 12, verse 30 through 31. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The Bible clearly tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. So regardless of what you think about that person or what you don't like about that person, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. So,
okay, ask you a question. Because this is me. No, I'm just saying because I just want to be, I think I'm using the right word, transparent when I say this. I knew we were going to be talking about this, and when I thought about it and I saw the scriptures you're using, it kind of hits home. It's like what you said, love your neighbor. So, and I know you're going to touch on certain things a little bit later, but it's hard for me. I can communicate with anybody. I can hold a conversation with anybody despite their lifestyle. But when it comes to certain people with certain lifestyles, I don't think that speaking of me just in general, and I don't know if anyone else is like this, give them the love, the scripture you just read. Show them that type of love. There's a lot of things that I'm not a homophobic or anything like that, but I will conversate if I have to. I will, you know, I'm not ignorant. I don't tell them to get away from me, but I don't, and it's kind of deep, and it kind of is a chastisement to me because I don't show that type of love with a just normal person that I know. I will shake their hand. I will joke with them. I will play with them. But if I know that you're living a certain type of lifestyle, I don't exhibit that love with what you just read. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to let you go on.
So by you making that statement, you're going to shake their hand, you're going to conversate, you're going to joke around. So are you not being genuine towards these people?
I'm not being genuine. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not. I'm just holding a conversation. I'm being polite. I'm being well-mannered. And there's a difference with someone that you can embrace. I've embraced people I didn't even know and show that love of Christ. If I know that they're not right, like if I seen a transgender or if I seen a man, if I have to speak to him, I will. I'm not going all the way around the corner. And it kind of hit me when we said we were going to talk about this because it has me examining myself when I'm talking to individuals that, you know, are not like us or not like me, you know. So I'm just being honest. I haven't got to that point, and hopefully with this lesson and listening to people's comment, I can change that. But I'm just being honest. I don't, you know, we me and you had the conversation privately. I can tolerate it. I don't show that Christian love, though. That's just with the homosexuals. I'm not saying everybody, but that's just mine. If you want to call it a weight, if you want to call it a sin, if you want to call it whatever you want to call it. Now, I'm not being ignorant. I'm not telling them to get away from me. I'm not telling them they're going to hell or anything of that nature. I'm just not as loving my neighbor the way I'm supposed to love my neighbor. So a prime example. If I knew that a man was gay and you know how they tell you in church, go hug your neighbor, I wouldn't hug him. I would shake their hand. I wouldn't hug them.
Okay.
And this is where I think that me growing in the word, acknowledging it, I need some help because I don't know. And when you brought this subject up, love thy neighbor, and regardless who your neighbor is, they need to have the love of Christ regardless. You know, I'm struggling with that because I'm going back and forth, but yet still I think I'm being hit that I'm wrong in how I'm feeling in the way that I approach it. I'm starting to feel that way. I started to feel like that last night when I was going over this lesson. Maybe I did need to show the love of Christ. Maybe I'm the difference. If I did show the love of Christ, maybe I could be a tool to help them be delivered from whatever it is that they're doing. I've never looked at it like that. You know, it is what it is. But I don't want to hold up about what I think and how I'm doing things. I'm just being honest with you. You know, to be honest when you're teaching, don't just act like we got it all together. Because, you know, evidently I don't. So, go ahead.
Well, that's kind of why I wanted to do this lesson. I actually had an experience at the dentist with my kids last week. And my subject is not about this, but there was a teenager being seen by the dentist. Clearly she was a girl, and the dentist called her such. The dentist said, young lady, and the person corrected her and said, I identify as male, use a male pronoun, address me with a male pronoun. And that's what made me think of this. Well, not, I don't want to say think of this subject, but this is where that this subject came from, because I didn't have anything to do with that conversation, but I thought about it, like, what would I do in that situation? How would I handle that situation, you know, if my child came to me like that, or a family member, or if I'd seen somebody at the store? And, you know, I said, it gets a little tricky, so I wanted to go into love thy neighbor, they, them, and us. So, and it could be, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way that you feel. So I'm going to go into they. So the they of love thy neighbor is non-believers. These are the people who haven't accepted Christ as their personal savior. The people some believers look at and turn their nose up to. The ones who choose to worship, you know, maybe they worship the stars or the moon or these crystals, or maybe they worship Buddha, Muhammad. It doesn't matter. They don't worship the Lord. So that's the they that I'm speaking of here. The ones that, you know, they don't want to have anything to do with anything in relation to the Word of God. And it seems they want to do things that, you know, make them feel good. It's either a feel-good situation, I'm doing me, it feels good, and I'm just going to do me. More of like a self, you know, this self, everybody is into themselves. It's all about me, myself, and I, this self thing that's going on. Or it could be a situation where someone is trying to numb, you know, the pain that they're going through. Is it, you know, pain that they've endured during their life? So anybody that's going through something that's not a believer, this is what I'm speaking of. So what brought to my mind was the woman at the well. So when you encounter a non-believer, keep in mind the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well. And you can find that in John chapter 4. Again, that's John chapter 4. I encourage you to go and read that whole chapter, pretty much. You can read the whole chapter, or you can just stop at verse number 42. So all the way from 1 to 42, that should be good. But read that. And this woman was a Samaritan, a sexual sinner, who Jesus wasn't supposed to talk to. He wasn't supposed to have any type of interaction with this woman because of, you know, the religious laws during that time. It was like taboo for him to talk to this woman. kind of like the way some people feel is taboo for them to communicate with somebody that don't do what they do, who their lifestyle is a little bit different. It kind of feels like, I ain't got nothing to say to them. We ain't got nothing in common. I can't be seen with them. I can't rub elbows with them. Kind of like what we do nowadays. But with this, this scripture in the Bible here, Jesus entered a dialogue with this woman. And with that dialogue with her, he connected with her on a level, you know, that they shared, you know, human, if I could say a human connection. Jesus was asking for water. He said, give me something to drink. And he said that matter-of-factly. And when you look at him telling her, give me something to drink, what he did during that conversation with her, he read her whole situation. And he addressed her at the point of her personal needs. And as a result of the encounter, you know, that Jesus had with the woman at the well, the entire Samaritan village was converted to faith in Christ. And what I like about this is in verse 38, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed on Jesus because of the woman, because of her testimony. So if Jesus wouldn't have never spoke to her because of the lifestyle or because it was taboo, because it wasn't the right thing to do according to the religious laws, if he would have not said anything to her, then we would be acting the same way. But because Jesus did what he did, I'm not saying we're Jesus, but we should be Christ-like. So we should be doing things the way Christ did it. He didn't snub his nose at this lady. And our job as Christians, our job is to show kindness, gentleness, grace, and love while reflecting the spirit of Christ in all that we say and do. So instead of browbeating somebody or snubbing your nose at them or looking at them like they're crazy because they don't look the way you think they should look or they're exhibiting a different lifestyle than the people that you deal with. Instead of us looking at people like that, let's try to have a conversation. It doesn't hurt anybody to say, hey, how are you? How's your day? It don't mean that somebody wants you because you asking them about their day. You never know. You may be the only person that has spoke to them that whole day. So it's important that we show the love of Christ everywhere we go and let the Lord do the work. Whatever's going on in that person's life, it's not your job to clean them up. It's your job to show the love of Christ. So we need to stop shaming and blaming and condemning people, because if we do that, we'll be able to draw more people unto Christ. And it's not like we ain't never did no wrong ourselves. None of us perfect. So we should be able to look back over some situations that maybe somebody didn't want to be around us or they didn't like our attitude. And we should, you know, show the love of Christ. And that's our job with the bae. So love thy neighbor. And that was bae, non-believers. Husband, you want to add anything else before I go on to them?
No, you're good. You can keep it moving.
All right. So them. Now, them is going to be, I'm going to call them part-time Christians. So, you know, we all know people who grew up in the church their whole life. And they know how to quote scriptures. They know how to cut a step. They know how to speak in a tongue. And, you know, they can tell you about everything that's going on in somebody else's house. We all know those people. And, yes, we are called to love our neighbor. You are called to love part-time Christians as well. Now, with this group of people, all we should be doing is showing them what the Bible says. They know the word. You ain't got to do nothing but take them back to what the scripture says. And once again, we don't need to browbeat them or anything like that. Again, they know what the word says. They may choose to do other things their way, and they may think as long as nobody is looking or no one knows what they're doing, then they okay. The thing is, God knows everything. He sees everything, and there's nothing that they're doing that he does not know about. God will do the correcting. Your job, again, is to love your neighbor. Now, the thing about loving your neighbor with part-time Christians, it's kind of like you do want to spend a little bit more time with somebody who is being a part-time Christian, because you want to understand what's making them choose to go the route that they're going. When you had the Lord did something for you to become a Christian, to accept them in your life. So what is causing you to do otherwise? What is distracting you? So we need to, you know, maybe talk, have a more common conversation with this group of people. Still showing love, because at the end of the day, none of us have a heaven or a hell to put anybody in. Our job is to love them, walk out our salvation before their eyes. Our job is to love them with the love of Christ. And the only thing about being a part-time Christian is, being a part-time Christian, you need to make a side note. You cannot defeat a full-time devil being a part-time Christian. Either you're going to be full-on for Christ, or you're going to keep doing it halfway, and things aren't going to work out. The devil is going to still come for you just as hard. So you got to make a decision. Do I need to give my all to Christ, or I'm going to keep doing me and dibbling and dabbling and going back and forth? A lot of people go back and forth, and it's not cute. Time is running out, and you don't want to be caught out on the wrong side when you've already accepted Christ in your heart. You think, okay, I got saved when I was 10. I'm good. I'm good. I can still do what I want. I know Jesus. I already know everybody. Look, I know Jesus, but does he know you? That's the thing. You got to have a relationship with the Lord, and you can't have a part-time relationship with the Lord. It's full-time. He's not going to accept, what is it? There's a song, 99 and a half won't do. You got to make 100. You got to do all that you can for Christ, and don't need to be a part-time Christian. That's the them. And the scripture that I have for the them is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The Lord started the work. The Lord will finish the work. You have to be a willing, obedient person in order for him to be able to move in your life. He's not going to bogart you. You have to be obedient, and you have to be willing to do the work of Christ full time. All right, husband, did you want to add anything into our them people?
I mean, them, you know, it's funny that you say that, because again, being transparent, I feel like I was a them. And what you're saying is 99 and a half won't do. I'm experiencing something right now, my life with Christ right now, compared to what it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago. And the difference is I'm totally sold out. Every aspect of my life right now, it has to do with Christ. It has to do with who I am and whose I am. You can't see me and talk to me and know that I'm not a preacher. You can't see me and talk to me and not know that I don't love the Lord. And the difference in what you were saying is about, you know, you was talking about love thy neighbor. And I was thinking to myself, you know, because I'm at a different level now in Christ, I'm looking at things differently than what I was before. Before, it was just you're saved, you know a couple of scriptures, you know some cliches, and you move on, but I wasn't living the life. And when you're not living the life, that's where that personal relationship comes in. Yeah, I would get blessed, but I wasn't blessed because, and this is where scriptures teach you, I wasn't blessed because I was just around the right people at the right time, and I got part of their overflow. And we got to be careful with people, and I'm watching people now because people say they love the Lord, but they're always doing other things besides the Lord's work. Now, you can talk a good game, and you can say, so I don't want to get off the subject, but that's just when you talk about them. Again, I said this was a hard lesson for me to because it chastised me in a lot of different areas about my own life. So, you know, I'm going to let you keep on going because I know we're about to get to the good part.
Well, when you say, you know, about people, you'll know by the fruit that they bear. So,
see, a lot of times you don't. A lot of times you don't. A lot of times because people can talk so good. They think. No, I'm just being honest.
Let them keep talking. Let them keep talking. Something ain't going to line up.
Well, I mean, if you got time to look at all of that. But at the same time, we got to be careful. We have to be careful. And because I was one of them, and you can say stuff and you can do stuff, and you can have people fooled because you. I grew up in church. I know all the cliches. But yet at the end of the day, are you really loving your neighbor? Do you really love your neighbor? And that's a hard question to ask. Can I go out here and see a homosexual and love them the way Christ loved me? I'm going to tell you right now, the answer to that question is no. I can tolerate it. I can shake their hand, hold conversation, but I'm not going to show them. Then you show another individual. Say that again.
That's not what you're supposed to do. We're not supposed to just tolerate people. That's not
what we're
supposed to do.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's me. That's me. And I'm not saying this to everybody. That's me. If I know situations, you know that I know some sissies that sing in choirs. I will tolerate them. But I'm not going to go all out my way and pat them on the back and give them a good. I've never done that. I've never been about that. So when you came up with this subject, love thy neighbor, it hit me a different way because I'm trying to be what Christ wants me to be, but also I'm not trying to be phony and sugarcoat people's sin either. And that's where I'm having that. That's why this is helping me in a way, but also is putting me like, you know, am I really, you know, I'm just not going to lie for nobody. I'm not that type of person. If I see it, you know, if you see a person that's a thief and you invite them into your home, you're going to watch them. You're going to make sure they don't steal nothing. You're going to be on your P's and Q's compared to a family friend that comes in. You're going to offer them your best meal. You're going to embrace them. You're going to show that Christian love. But if it's someone that's not in the same, I'm just being honest. This is just Derek. And, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
But think about what you're saying. I'm not saying by no means be foolish and come on. You know somebody is they got sticky fingers and you're gonna put your valuables away if you're using your brain right. You're gonna do that. But it's not that you're judging that person. It's that that person has already shown you what type
right.
of person that they
so
are.
So why would
you're just
I?
Using wisdom, putting your stuff away. That don't mean your conversation with that person should change. You should still be respectful to them, and you should shun them.
So when I'm talking to a homosexual, I'm supposed to show the same type of love for them that I'm supposed to show. And I'm understanding what you're saying. It's just hard for
me
to get there.
Let me say this. Okay. You want to focus on that particular type of sin. I'm not saying go out hugging everybody. It's nothing about physical contact. You ain't got to hug. You ain't got to shake hands. You ain't got to do nothing. I'm just saying treat people, be kind. Show the love of Christ. It's not like the Lord is saying everybody, everywhere you go, every person you meet, you got to hug. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying treat people with the respect of Christ. I do know that everybody ain't right in the world. We know that we come across crazy people every day that don't know how to act. Okay, that don't mean I got to socialize with you, but I don't have to mean mug you and look at you like you're crazy. I'm going to say, hey, how you doing? And I'm going to keep it moving.
So you mean to tell
but
me, I'm just asking a question. I'm just asking a question. If I see a man dressed like a woman, and you say don't mean mug him, and I'm looking at him from head to toe, and I'm saying to myself, A, to me, they slapping God in the face because they say God, and God makes no mistakes. They're calling God a mistake, and you saying not to mean mug him. And I don't want to make this a gay thing or a gay bashing type thing, but I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at him, and it's... No, see, that's hard for me to do. That's I'm not there yet.
I'm not going to even.
Up and
hug. You don't have to.
I'm not there.
This is an open dialogue. If this is not one way, it's my way and no way. I'm just telling you what the word says. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So I'm not telling you to do anything but show love. I'm not saying you got to be in love with them. I just said show love.
I understand what you're saying. And when you say that, I'm thinking about, and I think most people think, like I think, love thy neighbor. I'm thinking about my next door neighbor. I'm thinking about the family that lives next door on both sides of us. That's what I'm thinking. And maybe I'm ignorant for thinking like that, but that's what I'm thinking. And sometimes you get good neighbors, sometimes you get bad neighbors. But for the most part, that's what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking when we're walking in a store and we see two men or two women hugging each other. I'm not thinking about when we're walking down the street and you see someone that likes to molest women. I'm not, are we supposed to love them and show the love of Christ? And I know the answer to the question. I'm just not there because I think about Paul and what Paul did before he was Paul and how he, he, to be honest with you, he could be considered a mass murderer of the Christians, but he had a change of heart. And see, and when you talk about love thy neighbor, to be honest, I don't think any of us, because I think we all have something that's in us that we don't identify with, we don't like, and we can't get comfortable with it. This is the part why we have to grow in Christ. Just the fact that I'm having a conversation and I'm thinking about maybe I ought to be more compassionate towards them because maybe I can win them to Christ. I'm heading in the right direction, but I'm not there. I'm not going to act like I got it all together, like I'm not a super spiritual person, and I have it together to do that. But the scripture you read in the beginning, and I'd like for you to read it again because it makes me think about the way that I do act, and it makes me want to change a little bit. I ain't there yet. It needs to work on me some more. It needs to study in and you know, the Lord dealing with me. But we ought to exhibit more love for people because if we want for people to change, we got to have that same mentality that Christ had when he talked to the woman that was a prostitute. We got to have that mentality. And even when it comes to the funny people and that type of stuff, we have to be careful. But it's a slippery slope because there's a lot of crazy people. You know, there's young kids. I have kids. There's grandkids running around. I'm not trying to put that on them. So when I see it, it bothers me because of the message that it sends out. Everywhere you go, it's okay to identify. They're trying to make it a law that you can't even tell your kid what they are. They come out a boy, you ain't allowed to put that on a birth certificate until they decide what they want to be. And to me, that's sick. So when I see it and I see the direction it's going in, it's just the natural man in me. And because I do believe in Christ and I am saved, it's disgusting. And the Bible says it's disgusting. So it's kind of, and I'm not trying to fight the verses or anything like that. It's kind of hard to love.
Let me ask you this. So, let me just make a statement. My brother was murdered, two guys. And the thing is, the two guys that murdered my brother, they will be getting out if they don't have any other charges, I'm not sure. But they only got 10 years. The 10 years is up next year. So my thing is, do I love the guys that killed my brother? I love them with the love of Christ because I want them to get saved. I want the Lord to touch their souls. That's the greatest thing that could happen to them for me. It's for them to get saved and go hard for Christ. When I say love, I'm saying look beyond the person's outer shell. Pray for their soul. Pray that they get it right. Regardless of what lifestyle they're choosing to live and things that don't look right, don't line up, I'm praying for their soul. I'm praying that they get it right, they're called home. That's what I say when that's what I mean when I say love thy neighbor. That's saying that I agree with what they're doing, that I like it, that I think it's fine. No, I'm not saying any of that. I'm praying for their souls, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, have your way in their life. And I know people might be like, you're crazy, but that's the way I feel.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you because, you know, we're married, and I know that's your heart. I don't know if I could do that. And I thank the Lord I'm not in that position. There have been positions where I've seen situations a little different than that, but I don't know. I've never had to face that. The only thing and it's not even close, but I feel, and I don't know if I don't even know if we can get off the subject, I feel like the church killed my father. That's just my opinion. That's why a lot of times I have a lot of issues with church people, because I felt that he was so stressed out, but he gave it his all. His life was the church. Not only was he the pastor, not only was he overseeing a couple other churches, not only was he over the choir and all these different auxiliary, he never got a moment break, and they stressed him. He stressed. When we bought the building, the junior high school, and went into there, it became more stress on him. Not the elders, not the deacons, it was all on him. And he was only 50, and he was in shape. He worked out every day. And stress, and so when you say people that killed your brother and all, it took me, it's been almost 30 years since my father's been gone, and it's like, I still deal with that forgiveness. I still deal with loving when you see certain patterns of people. You see it. And I tolerate, okay. And in my brain, you know, I ain't supposed to talk about folks, but, you know, I can tell they're phonier than a $2 bill. And then you tell me about your brother. See, now you have, I ain't there yet. I'm just not there yet. And I'm one of the ones that say you're crazy. Because if you heard mine, and I guess, you know, the
but
Lord
you gotta,
will get
I,
you to that point.
Look at it, the way I look at it is my brother chose a lifestyle that he chose. And we all know, depending on the lifestyle you choose, you have consequences. So I'm not saying that I'm okay with what happened. Lord knows I'm not okay with what happened. But at the end of the day, when my brother died, from my knowledge, he accepted the Lord as his personal savior. So I'm cool with that. I'm good with that. Okay, you got it right. I just want people to get it right before they take their last breath. It doesn't, and I don't want to say it doesn't matter. There is always, if the Lord gives you a chance, every day that you wake up, there is another chance. The First Lady was just standing yesterday. You know, this is a new day. We all get another chance to get it right, to make it in. So my prayer is if you are in a situation where you're not forgiving or something hurts you to the core and it's hard for you to let it go, you're eating yourself up. You're wasting your days because guess what? All those people going on with their life anyway, lottie-dottie, they don't even have a care. They might not even know that they're the cause of your pain. So it's important
when you say that, do people know about their pain, whether they killed someone or whether they just try to suck all the air out of you? People know, and I'm a firm believer, just the older I get, people know what they're doing and they know what they're capable of. My father used to say the same. He used to get up early and suck in the fresh air before all the Negroes take it away. And I never knew what that meant. Now I know what it means because you have so many people, because if you're a realist for Christ, if you're ruling with Christ and you're a firm believer that you're living for Christ, A, you're not going to tolerate drama. B, you're about your Father's business. Now, when I see homosexuals, it doesn't matter, female, male, it bothers me to my core because I'm a Christian. My walk, my talk, everything that I do is based upon Christ.
I'm just saying.
But when I say that is, I'm not. Some people are more. You're more. You're. When I say this, you're ahead of me in certain areas. I'm not there yet, because I'm gonna look at you, and my first question I'm gonna ask is, why? And then we get in this debate. And then it becomes from a debate, and I'm not arguing with them, so that's why I just learn how you doing and keep it moving. And this is when you say show love thy neighbor when it comes to certain people. Now, some people can conversate and have a conversation and I ain't going to say be friends, but can tolerate. I can't tolerate that. But the question that I came up last night was, and this is where the chastisement start hitting me. What happens if two gay people come to the church and want to serve the Lord? How would I handle the situation? Because this is where I say it's a slippery slope. You can't condone it, but you also, you could be part of the deliverance process of getting them delivered.
Let me just say it like this. If they come into a church that's preaching the full-fledged word of the Lord without compromise, they're not going to want to stay. They're not going to want to serve because they're going to feel uncomfortable.
So that's my point. So if they come into a church and feel uncomfortable, why do I have to make them feel? And, you know, we had this conversation when we had some relatives over at the house. How do we make them feel comfortable?
I'm not saying make them feel comfortable. I'm just telling you to show the love of Christ. I'm not telling you to patty cake and appease anybody. I'm just saying keep it straight across the board. Show the love of Christ. No matter the walk, talk, black, white, green, purple, it don't even matter. Just keep it straight across the board. Love thy neighbor.
I know I'm going on both sides of the fence, but you just said it right there, and this is where we get totally show the love of Christ. And everyone is talking about love, love, love. God is love, and this is why they can do what they do. God is love. See, right there, that's the part that bothers me, because they throw that back in my face, and I know exactly what they're talking about. And when you see these commercials now and love this and love that and love this, and they'll throw God in there, and just like you said, you know, love thy neighbor. I get it. I understand it. But we've taken this to the point where we're not, it's a joke. And in a lot of churches, you say, preach the truth. Where are they preaching it at? Because I'm not talking about local. I'm talking about mega churches and everything else. You got more sissies in the choir.
Hold on.
You got more.
Talking about, hold on. Because we're not going mega, because most of the time, if it's mega, I don't know about all the time, but I'm just saying most of the time, if it's mega, they're preaching for more of a motivational and encouraging, and they're not pointing out nobody's faults or telling them they better get right, they better stop lying. They're not pointing out what the word says. They're picking and choosing the scriptures that they want to use.
Even in some of the smaller churches, they do the same thing. And I was
well,
just
in.
That's what I'm
saying.
So you know, if we can talk about, we can do this all day. I need you to move on, because we can go here all day, tip for tap. Because there's a lot of small churches that got a bunch of sissies, and even the leaders go kind of both ways.
The leader is not teaching line upon line, precept upon precept of the word. They're not doing it. They're skipping around and they're finding whatever is going to be suitable to float the boat for that Sunday. They're not digging in this word and telling people what the word says about our lifestyles. If you a liar, if you a gossiper, all this stuff is in the Bible. if you're doing all that, none of it is being brought out. It ain't just about people being homosexual, because a lot of people get on the phone and they gossip from here to Timbuktu, and they just gossip all day. That's a sin, too.
Everybody
got cussed up in their chest. That's a sin, too. So it's not just about homosexuals. It's more about people, period. It's period. That's why I say it's got to be across the board. It can't just be, we can't single out one group of people, because it's a lot of people that's doing stuff that's hidden behind the doors of their house that's worse.
Well, that's what you were saying.
It's in your face. You know what they're doing. But when you got people, you know, standing in the pulpit, whatever, leading praise and worship, whatever, you got them doing stuff. They can be straight as a straight line. It don't matter. They doing stuff behind the scenes. The Lord sees all of that. That's my point. For them, the Lord sees everything. They and them and us, he sees all of it. So regardless, our job is not to point out who doing what, why you doing that, but we supposed to stick with what the word says, and we supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. I'm going to go on to us. Is that okay?
It sounded like you was yelling at me. I guess it's going to have to be okay. You can move on.
I wasn't yelling. Just got a little excited.
Hey,
for a second.
Okay, I didn't do it.
Oh, Lord. Okay, we're going to go on to us. So we've already covered love thy neighbor, they and them. Now we're going to us. Us is the believers. Talking about you, talking about me, us. As Christians, we have a duty to serve each other, because in our service, we will see God's grace in action as we demonstrate our faith. We should be encouraging one another, not tearing each other down. I'm going to take you to 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Now, we can all agree that we all go through things, and we at times have things that discourage us. We may not feel the best. We may feel defeated at times. At times, situations don't always pan out, and we look forward to something that may not happen, and we have to accept it. So whether it's work or family drama or financial issues or even our relationships, we all experience, situations in our lives. And, you can best believe, because you've experienced it, somebody else has experienced it too. And the thing about us experiencing things and going through trials and situations, we can actually go through something to help somebody else. And we can tell them, hey, I made it through this way, or this is what I did. We can give them scriptures. We can give them encouraging words, or we can just listen to what they're saying. As believers, we should hold each other accountable with the love of Christ. I have friends that be like, nah, you wrong. And my best friend, I will call her. If I tell her about a situation I'm going through, she'll tell me if I'm wrong, and I love it, because that's what I need. I don't need nobody to be like a yes person. I need somebody to tell me when I'm wrong. So we all need to have somebody in our life that holds us accountable. And if you don't want to be held accountable, then I question why you don't want to be held accountable, because we should all be striving to do what we're supposed to be doing for Christ. Nobody should have to walk this journey alone. We are here to lighten the load for each other. Galatians 6 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Love thy neighbor. We should be lifting each other up in prayer. We should be interceding on behalf of our brothers and sisters. We should be strengthening one another. I have a prayer group that I'm in. I send a text. We all send texts throughout the week, depending on the kind of day we're having. And this is like immediate prayer. This is not like, oh, I'll pray for you next week. No, this is real prayer, and you should find a person or a group that you can, pray with. Not saying you can't pray on your own, but it's good to have strength to back you up. Because sometimes, you know, you may not feel like praying. You may not know the words to say. You may not know how to tackle a situation. And James 5 and 16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need each other. So that is the us. Love thy neighbor. Us. Believers. We need one another. We need to commune with one another. We need to fellowship with one another. We ain't got to always sit around and talk about church. There's other things that we can do. I'm a big fan of karaoke. My husband will tell you. I'm a big fan of karaoke, and I enjoy it. Am I saved? Yes. When I'm singing, I'm saved. When I get done singing, I'm saved. So, yes, live life. Enjoy fellowship. Go out to dinner. Go out to the movies. Whatever you do, do it with the love and fellowship of Christ. It is our duty, not a choice, but a requirement. So I'm going to close with my last statement. So none of us know when, where, or how we will leave this earth. But I pray that we all will be ready. So let's continue to be about our Father's business. Let's continue to lift each other up. Let's continue to love thy neighbor, they, them, and us. And that's all I have for you tonight. It's in your hands, husband.
Yeah, you make it so hard to close out because there's so much meat on that bone. I'm going to leave it alone because I'm going to be obedient in the Lord. No, because we're going to get out of here on a decent time, and I'm not going to do no ranting or raving. It is what it is, and the word is basically plain. I just need to do better. You know, I'm not there yet, and anyone knows me.
Love thy neighbor. We all need to do better.
But at the same token, though, you know, it's one of them things where, you know, I feel you, but at the same token, when you sold out for Christ and you battling to save souls for Christ, and it's just, you know, I don't know. I just don't know. And the opposite sex type thing, it really bothers me. A lot of people say, well, what happened to your son?
That could be a soul. It bothers you so bad, because that type of situation bothers you so bad.
Well,
I mean, have you ever even talked to one of them just to say,
talked to them. We had them on the show before you married me and changed me to the man I am now. You know, I used to have them on the show. And I'll be trying to figure stuff out. The thing about it is you know, I have an open dialogue. But you got to understand, coming up when I came up, my father was a musician. And I've seen I've seen people turned out at a young age because of funny people. Now, I know everybody's not the same. Everybody's different. But it don't sit well with me because some little boy or some grown man then funneled some little boy and it messed his life up. It don't sit well with me. So when you say, how to hold a conversation, no. You see, I grew up in the church. No, I'm just saying.
But it shouldn't sit well with anybody.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is, it don't sit well with me, but it sits well with a lot of other people because they can accept it. I can't accept it. Now, if I two wrongs don't make a right, you're right, but at the same token, you know my stance. And because you know my stance, you know I'm going to stand for what's right. Now, you talk about all sin and this and lying and gossiping. Yeah, lying and gossiping. But you know what? When you fondle a young woman, a young lady, a young boy, it's different. It's a different beast. It's a different spirit. And we know where it come from. And because
people
I'm talking
not
about
you
this love.
Out and keep the breeze with them. I'm not telling you.
I wasn't. The scripture that you read and what you're saying is all from the word of God. It's just hard for me. And most men that I know, I ain't going to say we feel the same way because some do a little bit better than I can, but I'm straight. I'm a straight shooter. And if I get chastised for it, I get chastised for it. The Lord is working on me. But I'm not going to allow things to happen in front of my face and not address it. And just so people know, because we're getting ready to close, I want you to close us out, wise, and give them the weekly schedule. I'm on a mission to do what God has called me to do. And because, you know, I grew up in the church, I know these games. And now that I'm on a level where I like where I'm at because my life is totally around Christ, I started a new job. I walked into work. They called me the minister. My whole conversation for 8 hours is centered around Christ. These people don't know me. But I got to be ready. So when I see something that's not right, it's not right. And I'm not talking about just love, God and love and everything.
Can I say something about what you just said? Okay, so you said they already calling you minister
that's how I was brought to them. Right.
So let me just say this. Now, if you have somebody that lives a different
lifestyle,
but and you show them a nasty attitude or you look at them crazy, how do you think they're going to be viewing Christ?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say this to them. I'm not, and I said this in the beginning, I can hold a conversation. But at the same token, there might be somebody there. There could be somebody. You got to be careful because just like I'm at work, the devil is at work too. And you just got to be careful because they could be
sending
them vibes.
You just saying, hey, how you doing? Keep it short. I'm not telling you to go eat and sit and have lunch with them. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm not going to sit. No, we're not doing that. We're not sitting next to them.
My point is that you already, some people are already see Christ. So
anyone can be around me for 5 minutes already know I don't deal well with homosexuals.
You can miss an opportunity if your nose is turned up. You want them to know and to know Christ. That's the bottom line.
Saying is this: when the opportunity is there, I will take it.
It's
if the opportunity is not there,
your presence is
you got to understand. No, first of all. First of all, I got to be prayed up because I'm going on a devil's playground. And there's nothing but heathens and things that are there. So you're right. So when they're coming at me, I got to be careful. This is why you need to thank the Lord you got a real man as a husband. Because I'm not going to tolerate. See, because people get turned out. By them spirit.
Okay.
And
okay,
I'm just telling
you,
they get turned out. No,
I'm not telling you to entertain anybody. I just said show the love of Christ. You make it seem like I'm telling you to go entertain and go chit-chat and go hang out.
Okay, that's what happened. Listen. We're married, and you already know me. We're married, and now my bond is with you and everybody. This is where people mess up. Because a conversation. See, there's a thing. I'm not conversating.
Nobody can sway you to something that you're not curious or interested in.
If they want to know about Christ, there is a way, and you will know. Now you got like the discernment. If someone was seeking the Lord and wanted to know, of course I will. That's all day, every day. That's my job. But you got to understand, when you have a conversation with someone and you're conversating with someone, either is going to be, someone has to be the leader in the conversation. And if they ain't trying to hear about Christ and it's up to me, okay, now I got to be ready because they're trying to attack me. And I got to be ready for that. Now, if they really want to know about the Lord, we're going to talk about it. And we will deal with that. And that's one of the things.
That's not where I'm going, though. What I said was show the love of Christ. I didn't say that somebody's asking you questions. When you get to that point, yes, but I'm saying before you even get to that point to talk about Christ, you should be able to say hi and bye to somebody without mean mugging them because of what you see with your eyes. I'm not talking about the next phase where you...
We got to do this because I'm going to tell you. See, this is why, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get done because you didn't get my blood pressure up. This is why a lot of men get caught cheating because what just that show the love and they have a conversation and that conversation leads somewhere else and they end up going somewhere else because of a conversation. Now, I'm just that it happens in the church, it happens in the workplace. I've seen it happen. It happens. You have to be careful. You can't just go conversate.
I said the love of Christ. You've taken it into a conversation. Whoa. I just said it could be high and by. I didn't tell you that you had a conversation.
Everybody can't do high and by. Everybody is not capable. I've been in church 40 years. Everybody can't do high and by. Everybody can't do it.
Wow.
You saying wow. Let me ask you a question. How many, and just be honest, and we got to go, how many pastors have tried to talk to you in a high-by conversation? Has it been a one, two?
Everybody's not on the same level you're on.
Okay.
The thing is, you can't let nobody stop you from doing the work that you're called to do, the work that you're supposed to be doing.
I didn't say stop you. But let me ask a question. The question was in a conversation. Okay, you already answered it. You've already answered the question. What I'm saying is, and this is what church folks get, and this is why we have to be careful. And because if we don't, a conversation, being Christian-like, will get you in trouble. And it will, because the devil is out there. He knows what he's doing. He knows who he can go to. And he knows right now, in a lot of churches, especially black churches, there's a lot of single black women who's vulnerable. And all they want to do is have a conversation about what? Love and Christ. And next thing you know, they turned out somewhere. Got to hide a baby because they don't want the other wife. You know it's true. We act like we want to sugarcoat this, and we really, I'm trying to say it's the truth.
Okay, hold on. Pause. Flag on the play. Hold on. Let me just say this. I'm not disputing what you're saying. What I'm saying, regardless, at the end of the day, we are required to show the love of Christ. That was my topic. They, them, us, show the love of Christ, period, point blank. Everything else that you add on to it, I'm not disagreeing with you, but at the same time, I'm not going to fall into these questions that you're asking. I'm going to continue to show the love of Christ. If somebody want to be stupid and do what they're doing, that's between them and God. They're not going to trip me up. And I pray that they don't trip anybody else up and that they get caught. Because everything that you do in the dark will come to the light, best and believe.
Well, if they have full enough try to talk to you, they ain't got to worry. They will be in real soon, real fast, in a hurry. And all what I'm saying is people have to be careful because the devil is out here. He's in the grocery stores. He's in the workplaces. And they trip up with a conversation just like what we're having. And you have a young female who full of life, full of, just, ooh, that's a Christian. No. Better be careful. Because if you ain't, I've seen it happen. And what we're talking about is real life stuff.
That's what I just said, too, though. As Christians, we are supposed to be lifting up one another. So if you know a young person or you know a situation, you're supposed to encourage that person. Let them know that
I can encourage you. You can encourage me. I can encourage my brother and my sister all day, every day. It ain't me that's the problem. The problem is people that's lurking, that's in the church. I'm not going to even use churches in general, who look the part, who look nice.
and oh, they smell good, they nice, they know how to talk about the Lord, and they're tricking you all with a conversation. Because if you don't have, if you do not have a relationship and a discernment, you could get tricked up.
How did we get this far? Because this is not even what we were talking about. You took it somewhere else, because I just want people to just love, just show the love of Christ. Everything else that my husband adding to it, I'm not disagreeing with everything that he's saying, because I do agree with some of what he's saying. Love your neighbor. I'm just saying what the Bible tells you to do. Love your neighbor. Just
love your neighbor. I ain't saying you ain't got to love them. I just said don't conversate with them.
Okay, if Jesus didn't conversate with the woman at the well because of the rules and regulations, she had five husbands, and then she was with another man that wasn't even her husband. So what you call that? A home, a mistress, whatever you want to call it. But Jesus still took the time to talk to her.
What I'm saying is you're right. Love thy neighbor. But everyone can't go up to a woman that had five husbands and got a mistress and try to talk to them. Everyone ain't strong enough to do that.
I'm not saying try to talk. No, I'm not, you know, this day and age, I'm not telling people to go up to people and just be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. You can just say hey and hi, keep it moving. You ain't got to meet them at the car and start talking to them. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying be cordial. Don't act stuck up. Don't act like you can't say hi to somebody, like you all that. You just never know. Your hi may be the highlight of their day. Just show the love of Christ. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm going to let you close out. I'm going to let you close this out. Just let everyone know. Don't forget about tomorrow night Bible study, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, 7 p.m. Same online station, same phone number, 845-277-9094. Also on Thursday night, Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries will be on, same time, 7 p.m., same website, same phone number. Only thing different is you can catch them on Facebook Live through their Facebook live page is Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. It'll pop right up, and you can watch them live on Thursday night. Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries will be on live this Thursday, and you can catch us all at Praise Tabernacle at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. This Sunday morning at 9 a.m. If you had a chance to see services yesterday, I just want to make a comment. And I'm going to say this while we end on a good note. There was something special about yesterday's service. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on. There was something in the air. And whenever you allow the Holy Ghost to move like that, that's when you know you're in the right place. It wasn't the same typical service. It was a little different. And I just thank the Lord that Bishop was being led by the Holy Spirit. And everybody if you had a prayer, you got a praise put on it. So hopefully everyone should have a great week this week, just if you was in the tabernacle on yesterday, because there was something special in the house on yesterday. Even woke up this morning to text messages about yesterday's service. So you know it's good when it end up on your text messages about yesterday's service. So just a shout out to everyone from Praise Tabernacle that was in the house yesterday. Hopefully you're still on a high from yesterday's service. And with that, I'm going to let my wife take us out. I think I'm in trouble. I'm glad I got to go to work tonight, so I ain't got to hear the wrath of Mrs. K. Go ahead and take us home.
He got jokes, y'all, because ain't nobody in trouble in this house. So he got jokes. I just want to add our email as well, ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Again, that's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. This is for any prayer requests, praise reports that you want to send us. Go ahead and send those out, and we appreciate that. All right, so we're going to close the service on out tonight, we're going to close tonight's episode out. I just want to pray that everyone, you know, took what you needed to take from the word, and I pray that you understood where we were coming from. I pray that you all have a great week. I pray that you let your light shine, that the love of Christ will flow through you unto the people that are in your life. And I pray that you just, you know, just let the Lord's will continue to be done in your life. I pray for everybody that's needing healing. We had a lot of prayer requests on yesterday for healing. We lift all the prayer requests up before the Lord on tonight. He knows everybody's situation. He knows them by name. So we pray for them on tonight. We pray for all the ministries around this world, the people that are doing the work of the Lord. We pray that you continue to strengthen them, encourage them, and just be that light and let them be led by your spirit. And let us get back to what the word says. We don't need to keep doing this patty cake stuff. Let's see what the word says and let's walk the word out. We ask that you just continue to lift our pastor up. He wasn't feeling too well on this weekend. We pray over him. We plead the blood of Jesus over his life, any ailments in his body. We ask that you heal him in the name of Jesus. We ask that you continue to look out for him and his family, to all of PTC family, and to every household that's represented there. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God's will. We'll see y'all on next Monday. Take care. Good night.